Welcome to the Pearl of Great Price podcast. Thanks for joining us today. And on this day in Christian history, we're going to be looking at the theme of Jewish-Christian relations and go back to the year 1986. And we travel to Rome, where Pope John Paul II became the first pope in recorded history to make an official visit to a Jewish synagogue. In a small speech at the synagogue, he said, "First of all, I would like, together with you, to give thanks and praise to the Lord who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and who chose Abraham in order to make him the father of a multitude of children, as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, to give thanks and praise to him, because it has been his good pleasure, in the mystery of his providence, this evening there should be a meeting in your major temple between the Jewish community that has been living in this city since the times of ancient Romans and the Bishop of Rome and universal pastor of the Catholic Church. There is only a distance of 2 miles between the Vatican and Rome's great synagogue, but news of his visit travelled much wider than that, with Israel's president Chaim Herzog saying that this was a positive sign for the relationship between the Catholic Church and the Jewish community. President Herzog called it an important step towards correcting the injustices which the Church had perpetrated on the Jewish people over 1,500 years. For centuries, the Jews of Rome, under papal rule, had suffered discrimination and humiliation, were confined to a ghetto and had been forced to attend sermons urging them to convert. There was an ironic proverb that had expressed Jewish feelings of hopelessness surrounded by such a hostile culture: "The persecution will end when the Pope enters the synagogue." Well, today on April the 13th, the Polish Pope joined the synagogue's chief rabbi, Eloy Tuaf, in an enthusiastic embrace, and some of the 1,000 onlookers wept. As a child, Karol Wojtyła, the Pope, had played sports with many of his Jewish neighbours in Poland. Very unusually for popes, he had grown up in the climate of a flourishing Jewish culture, one of the key components of pre-war Krakow. So his interest in Jewish life dated from early youth. And on numerous occasions as Pope, he had publicly called the Jews our elder brothers. Some theologians had interpreted this as a code for what is called dual covenant theology, that asserts that the old covenant or the law of Moses remains valid for Jews, while the new covenant of Jesus only applies to non-Jews or Gentiles. This is clearly at odds to the position of St. Paul, whose own conversion from being a Pharisee and whose experience of the risen Christ on the road to Damascus had radically redirected his life. And Pauline writings has had a profound effect on Christian theology. The mainstream and orthodox Christian belief is often described as supersessionist theology rather than dual covenant theology. Supersessionist theologians state that the Old Testament has been superseded or abrogated and replaced with the New Covenant. Although John Paul II supported greater dialogue between Catholics and Jews, he did not explicitly support dual covenant theology. However, he expressed his faith in a more nuanced way than many supersessionist theologians. In Germany, he had delivered a speech to the Jews of Berlin, asserting that God's covenant with the Jewish people was never revoked, by the further interpretation of the New Testament. He was making a subtler point that was made already in the document Nostra Aetate from Vatican II, which says that the New Testament gave the older scripture its most complete meaning, as equally the New Testament one had received from the Old Testament light and explanation. And this was in line with the gospel declaration of Jesus, that I have not come to overthrow the law, but to fulfill it. John Paul was also the first pope to visit the Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland. He also visited the Holocaust memorial Yad Vashem in Israel, and during the same visit to Jerusalem, he had also touched the holiest outward remaining shrine of the Jewish people, the Western Wall. He had placed in its cracks a prayer that read, God of our fathers, you chose Abraham and his descendants to bring your name to the nations. We are deeply saddened by the behaviour of those who in the course of history have caused these children of yours to suffer. Later on in his pontificate, in 1994, he established formal diplomatic relations between the Holy See and the State of Israel, acknowledging its centrality in Jewish life and faith, and in honour of this event, hosted a papal concert to commemorate the Holocaust. This was attended by the Chief Rabbi of Rome, the President of Italy, and survivors of the Holocaust from all around the world. These efforts at reconciliation were complicated when the Polish National Catholic Bishops' Conference supported the Carmelite nuns in their attempt to establish a convent at Auschwitz. The Vatican did not support this convent, but noted that since Vatican II, each national bishops' conference had local autonomy. However, later, when John Paul realised that nothing was being done, he issued an order for the nuns to move. That's all from the Pearl of Great Price today. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Please subscribe and leave a comment on the blog if you have time. And join us tomorrow if you can as we look at the founding of the Polish state by Mieszko, who married the Christian Dubraka of Romania. If you want to visit the blog or commission a podcast for your own organisation, visit the website for more information at www.pogp.net. And if you'd like to respond directly, then email the show on pogppod@gmail.com. Have a lovely day wherever you are, and thanks for listening.